فاتحة. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالصخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المعيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين قال عنهم الرسول اللهم إن هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي وحامتي لحمهم لحمي ودمهم دمي يؤلمني ما يؤلمهم ويحزنني ما يحزنهم أنا حرب لمن حاربهم مسلم لمن سالمهم وعدو لمن عاداهم ومحب لمن أحبهم إنهم مني وأنا منهم فاجعل صلواتك وبركاتك ورحمتك وغفرانك ورضوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم ومناقبهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله تعالى. We have entered the holy month of Muharram. Al-Haram, beginning this evening, we shall be commemorating the days of the Aza of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. When the crescent of Muharram is established, it brings along with it a message of Karbala. It reminds us of the captivity of Zainab. It reminds us of the blow that was hit on the chest of Ali Akbar. It reminds us of the body of Qasim trampled under the hooves of the horses. It reminds us of the young child, the suckling baby of Hussein ibn Ali, the darling child of Rabab, who was mercilessly martyred with a three-headed arrow. But the crescent of Karbala also brings for us a message. It teaches us universal values. It teaches us those values that are supposed to be universal in the sense of equity and justice. And therefore, my fellow brothers and sisters, during these 10 days of Muharram, we shall be discussing the values, the universal and fundamental values that come out of Karbala, and how you and I are supposed to apply these values in our lives.
As of tonight, I wish to part with the message as an introductory subject to these values of Karbala that we will be looking at throughout the 10 days of Muharram, inshaAllah. When Hussein ibn Ali, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, when he left Medina, he made sure that he left a will. He left a wasiyat of his. In many wasiyats, Hussein ibn Ali chose to read, to give this wasiyat in writing. There are many, many advices and wasaya of Imam Ali salatu wasalam and the wasiyat of Imams that they have spoken to people, they have talked about them. But when it was a very fundamental issue, then Hussein ibn Ali wrote a particular will, a will to be preserved in the annals of history forever, for people to understand the reason for Hussein ibn Ali to leave Medina and arrive Kufa or Karbala, the reason for Hussein ibn Ali to take the action he had taken, the reason for Hussein ibn Ali to take with him his children and his family members, the reason for Hussein ibn Ali to bring an uprise to safeguard the Islah or the reformation of the Ummah of his grandfather, the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Please be with me for these few moments as I introduce this wasiyat to you. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam writes a wasiyat and he gives it to his brother Muhammad al-Hanafiya. And in this wasiyat he mentions to him categorically, clearly, firmly, profoundly as to the reasons of his departure from Medina to Karbala. He writes in his wasiyat, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I am leaving Medina. إني لم أخرج أشرا ولا بطرا ولا مفسدا ولا ظالما. I do not leave Medina. Let it be known to the world. This is a wasiyat in writing, recorded in history. I am not leaving Medina. إني لم أخرج أشرا ولا بطرا ولا مفسدا ولا ظالما. I am not leaving Medina because I want to acquire fame. I am not leaving Medina because I want to bring corruption on earth. I am not leaving Medina for any reason whatsoever except what I mention next. إِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ أَشِرًا وَلَا بَطِرًا وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I am leaving Medina for a sole purpose that I seek to reform the Ummah and the community of my grandfather, the Holy Prophet of Islam. And my primary objective in doing so is, أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَمُرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. I want to do أَمْر بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and نَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That is my primary objective of departure. So there is no ideology or notion of war, there is no notion of acquiring kingdom, there is no notion of anything. Hussein ibn Ali is categoric in mentioning the purpose of his departure. I am leaving Medina for a particular reason. And that departure of mine is, أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر. I want to do أمر بالمعروف and نهي عن المنكر. I want to enjoin people to goodness and forbid them from evil. Very important message that I want you to take with you home tonight as we develop this subject during the 10 days of Muharram. I am leaving for Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar, and that is my primary objective. Then he carries on with his wasiyat and he says, فَمَنْ قَبِلَنِي بِقَبُولِ الْحَقِّ فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِالْحَقِّ. Whosoever accepts this invitation of mine, that means you and I are now being invited towards this reformation of the Ummah,
of the Holy Prophet of Islam. So he now invites the people then, and he invites the people now, and the people for the generations to come. فَمَنْ قَبِلَنِي بِقَبُولِ الْحَقِّ فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِالْحَقِّ. Whosoever accepts this invitation of mine, Allah loves those who love truth. وَمَنْ رَدَّ عَلَيَّ. And whosoever rejects me in my invitation, أَصْبِرْ, I shall be patient. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ بِالْحَقِّ. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes His judgment between myself and the community. وَاللَّهُ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Allah is the best of the judges. This is the wasiyat left by Hussein ibn Ali in writing to his brother Muhammad Hanafiya as he departs Medina for Kufa upon the invitation of the people of Kufa who had invited him as they wanted an imam to rule over them. Now, the fundamental question I raise for your thoughts as you go home today. When did the Holy Prophet of Islam pass away from this world? 10 after Hijrah. Unanimously agreed, the Holy Prophet of Islam passed away from this world 10 after Hijrah. Correct? When did Karbala take place? 61 after Hijrah. What is the gap? 50 years. Who were the people that were raised by the Holy Prophet of Islam? Who were the people that were brought from ideology of ignorance in Mecca to the ideology of enlightenment and tawheed, the Holy Prophet of Islam? 10 after Hijrah, as he departs, the companions of the Holy Prophet of Islam, no, the Ummah of the Holy Prophet of Islam, is very enlightened, educated, understands Tawheed, knows what Islam is, knows the values that were taught to him or taught to them by the Holy Prophet of Islam. They understand all those things. Suddenly, something goes wrong. In 50 years, the same people that were raised by the Holy Prophet of Islam, that were taught Tawheed, went in a state or towards a direction that the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam had to stand up and say, I want to do Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi anil Munkar for the Ummah of my grandfather. What happened in 50 years? What went wrong? Furthermore, who were these people who came to Karbala to fight Hussein? Who were they? Umar ibn Sa'd, as I give you his example, who was he? Umar ibn Sa'd was the son of the prominent companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam by the name of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Okay? So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a prominent companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam. He was given the flagship of the army when they went to Persia for the battle. So he was the flag bearer of the army of Islam. His son is Umar ibn Sa'd, who comes to Karbala, who sees the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, who knows the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, who has the understanding and the cognizance of the status of Hussein ibn Ali. He is the one who comes to fight the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. What went wrong that even the children of the most companion, of the most prominent companions of the Holy Prophet of Islam, turned against Islam? One. Two. The fight was, the battle of Karbala was not between Christians and Muslims, was it? It was not between the Jews and the Muslims. No. It was not between the atheists and the Muslims. Perhaps the world would have understood had that been the case. The battle of Ashura, the battlefield in which the battle took place in Karbala was between Muslims themselves. only two generations, or probably just one and something generation had passed after the Holy Prophet of Islam had passed away. Some of the prominent companions of the Holy Prophet of Islam, such as Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, was still alive when Karbala took place. Right? Jabir met our fifth Imam. Allah gave him a long life. Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari was also one of the most prominent companions of the Holy Prophet of Islam. When Karbala took place, he was alive. So we can say that not even a generation had passed after the demise of the Holy Prophet of Islam when this event of Karbala occurred. No, let me tell you further so that you go back home to think, and then we come and develop on this inshaAllah ta'ala. The fight was between Muslims and Muslims. On one hand, there was the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam who had the flag of Tawheed in his hands. On the other hand, there were the followers of the Holy Prophet of Islam who were also claiming flagship of Islam. Husayn ibn Ali gives in writing the reasons for which he is there. And his intention is to protect and preserve the doctrines of the Holy Prophet of Islam, the teachings of the Holy Prophet of Islam, to protect Quran, to protect Ahadith of the Holy Prophet of Islam, to protect the values of Islam, to protect the values taught by the Holy Prophet of Islam. So his intention was, Qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. I do this to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hussein says this towards the last moments of his life, as he is about to meet his Lord. He said, تَرَكْتُ خَلْقًا تُرًّا فِي هَوَاكُ. I left everything for your sake. وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعَيَالَ كَيْ أَرَاكُ. I have orphaned my children only so that I can see you. So his intention was, قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But surprisingly, the intention of the army of Yazid and Yazid and all the people who came to fight the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, their intention also was in killing Hussein was Qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. So here the intention is Qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. Their intention is also Qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. Which Allah is who or who, which Allah is Hussein worshipping? Which Allah is Hussein and the 72 companions of Hussein worshipping? Which Allah are these worshipping? Which kalma is Hussein reciting? Which kalma is his? Or these people, apparently, they both recited, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is a matter for you and I to think. They were Muslims. And not ordinary Muslims either. They were Muslims who were hafiz of Quran. They had memorized Quran. You know, 700 scholars signed a petition to kill Hussein ibn Ali. Scholars. Hafiz of Quran. Prayers of their salat, they never used to miss their prayers. These are those who killed Hussein. Huh? They never missed the prayers. These people never missed their fasts. They prayed supererogatory prayers, mustahabbat, all these things. They went to Hajj every year. These were Muslims. And even while they were in the battlefield and they were fighting, when the time of Salat came, they abandoned everything and fought and prayed first. So they were Muslims, and these were Muslims. An onlooker from outside might wonder, what a difference between these two. What is the problem between these two? They follow the same Quran, they follow the same Sunnah, they follow the same God, they recite the same Kalma, and they follow the same Prophet. One of them is the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. One of them is the son of a prominent companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam. What is the problem? What happened in 50 years that Islam and the people who were following Islam lost their track completely and came to color their hands with the blood of Hussein? Let me tell you how important these Muslims were to themselves and how profound they were in their prayers. Let me give you an example. On the day of Ashura, when Imam alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred, when the Furat was weeping for Abbas and for Hussein, when the Munadi had called, Ala qad qutil al Husaynu bi Karbala, when the head of Hussein was severed from his body, at that time, these very Muslims wanted to pray their namaz of Asr. The martyrdom of Hussein took place at the time of Asr. Hussein ibn Ali was martyred. He was beheaded. His head was placed on a lance. At that time, it was dark because of the thunderstorm, or because of the storm, the desert storm. Everything had become dark. They could not determine at that time the position of Qibla, because Qibla at that time was determined by looking towards the sun and the sky and the movement of the sky or of the sun. So they could determine as to which side Qibla was. There was no such compass. So after killing the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam, these people wanted to pray namaz. But they could not determine Qibla. What did they do? They had to refer to some scholar. They had to ask someone, what is the position of Qibla? Where do I go and how do I pray my salat when I cannot determine Qibla? Please listen to this carefully. They came to none other than Umar ibn Sa'd. Who is Umar ibn Sa'd? The son of the prominent companion of the Holy Prophet of Islam. He is not an ordinary individual. He was an alim in his own right. He has written poems. If you read these poems, you will be surprised as far as the knowledge of this man was concerned. He was an alim. So they referred to him and they said to him, listen, we cannot determine Qibla here. We cannot find a place here. We do not know how to pray our salat. What do we do? He responds, and listen to his response. He was very much aware of what he was doing. He knew exactly what he had done. So he then says to these people, listen, you want to pray your salat? Indeed, it is time for salat. But let me tell you how you can find Qibla. Look at the lance on which lies the head of Hussein. For I have never seen this head turn away from Qibla. Umar ibn Sa'd says, look at the head of Hussein and look at the direction towards which it is. For I have not known this head to turn away from his Qibla. Umar ibn Sa'd, was he not aware of who Hussein is? Did he not know who Hussein was? He knew. Allahu Akbar. It is amazing. It is shocking to learn that these are Muslims who are very much aware of the status of the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. No. Let me tell you more. After the martyrdom of Hussein, Zuljanah, the horse, started behaving very differently, and there was a peculiar behavior and a very strange behavior. He started attacking the people who were approaching Hussein. While protecting Hussein ibn Ali, he was at the same time as people were approaching Hussein, this Zuljanah, this horse of Hussein, was trying to protect Hussein at the same time acting or behaving very weirdly and trying to attack anyone who approaches Hussein. Have you seen a horse do that? But this horse was. So, The only best way of removing this horse was a command. Let's kill him. So just like what had happened to Hussein, they started throwing arrows at the horse. They started hitting the horse with stones. Whatever anyone had in his hand, they attacked the horse. Umar ibn Sa'ad says at that time, "Do not attack this horse, for I have heard from the Holy Prophet of Islam about the rights of the animals." You are thinking about the rights of the animals and you are killing the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam. So these were the people who were there in Karbala, the people who killed Hussein, not ordinary people. The people who came out to make sure that Hussein's head was put on a lance and Hussein was delivered to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. These were the Muslims at that time. What happened in 50 years? How on earth did the mentality of the people change so much in 50 years? What was it that was missing is for you and I to understand through the values of Karbala. That's when we will be able to discover, you know, let me just give you one more example. When Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, gave us ziyarati waritha, the one that you just recited today being Thursday night and appropriately being the first of Muharram or first eve of Muharram. Imam alayhi salatu wa salam, when we received this ziyarati waritha from him, there are three groups of people that he curses. He says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. So there are three groups of people that he is cursing, that he is invoking curses upon, that we invoke curses upon as we recite Ziyarat-e Waritha. Who are these three people? What is these three groups? How many groups were there in Karbala? There was a group that was with Hussein ibn Ali. That was one group. There was another group that was with Umar ibn Sa'ad and the party and the army of Yazid. They were on the other side. There was a third group of people that were onlookers. They were just onlookers, people from Kufa, people who had traveled with caravans, people who were there. That was a third group of people. And there was a fourth group of people also in the category of onlookers who were responsible for Hussein being in Karbala. They had written letters to Hussein ibn Ali from Kufa to ask him to come. So they were there as well looking at this. Now, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam therefore says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً قَتَلَتْكَ. He addresses to his grandfather Hussein ibn Ali and says, I invoke curses. May Allah curse the ummah, the group that killed you. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً ظَلَمَتْكَ. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the community that did dhulm or was unjust against you. It is very interesting the way he places these two. He talks about qatl first and then he talks about dhulm second. And then he curses the third group of people. And he says, وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً سَمِعَتْ بِذَٰلِكَ فَرَضِيَتْ بِهِ. And may curses be upon the community that heard what happened to Hussein and chose to remain silent without saying anything. So this is the third group, which is the most dangerous group when it comes to any community whatsoever. This is the third group of people that is being cursed. Remember, the words of the Imam are everlasting. The words of the Imam are ever living. Just like Quran will live forever. These words will never die for you and I to understand. For we are to extract the values of Karbala from these words. This third group of people, second group, first group, look at the way Imam presents it.
The worst of them all is the one that creates an atmosphere for the killer to strike. So the killer is a secondary culprit. The first culprit is a group that creates an environment to enable the murderer to be able to kill. So dhulm, when dhulm becomes prevalent within the society, then it is the zalimeen who create an atmosphere for anybody to be able to strike in any way he or she wants. Remember that. It is that the zulm and the injustice within. That is why when Imam alayhi salatu wasalam comes, the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he could have said about the coming of the 12th Imam, all he could have said was that this Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is going to come. Right? All that needed. He says the words of the Holy Prophet of Islam in the hadith are, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٍ. If there is only one day left in the world to end. لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٍ لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Allah will stretch that day. He will make it so long. حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ رَجُلًا مِنْ عِتْرَتِي. Until a man from my family, from my loins rises. وَهُوَ مِنْ وُلْدِ فَاطِمَةِ. And he will be from the children of Fatima. إِسْمُهُ يُوَاطِي إِسْمِي. His name will be exactly like my name. This is the hadith of the Holy Prophet of Islam. إِسْمُهُ يُوَاطِي إِسْمِي. His name will be like my name. He will be from the loins of Fatima. It was enough for the Holy Prophet of Islam to say this, for us to expect Al-Mahdi, was it not? It is fine, we know he is going to come. But no, he then says the purpose of the coming of Mahdi. He then talks about why Mahdi will come. He will come, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. He will come and fill this earth with justice and equity, just like it will have been filled with tyranny and oppression. So the tyranny and oppression only comes when there is ظُلْم. And the people who are ظَالِمِين are those who remain silent, are those who do dhulm, are those who create an environment for dhulm, for the culprit to strike. So now Hussein ibn Ali is in Karbala. He is there and he is now fighting these people. But then let me tell you about one necessary issue in this relation before I switch. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of Ashura, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all to Karbala. May we do the ziyarat in Karbala, insha'Allah ta'ala. Those who have gone, may Allah take them again and again. And those who have never been there, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the opportunity to go there. When you go to Karbala, for those who have been, they will be able to relate to this. When you go to Karbala, you do the ziyarat of Atraf. You go outside and do the ziyarat of it is called the outside ziyarat. In the outside ziyarat, they will show you where Abbas, or where the arms of Abbas fell, or the hands of Abbas fell. They will show you Khaymagah, where the tents were. They will show you Tilla Zainabiya, where Zainab stood at the hill to witness the murder of her brother Hussein ibn Ali. They will show you many areas. They will show you Maqam of Ali Akbar. They will show you Maqam of Ali Asghar. They will show you many things. They will also show you a place. When you go there, you must stand up there and reflect upon what Hussein ibn Ali said here. They will tell you this is the place when Hussein ibn Ali delivered one of his last sermons. In the sermon, what did Hussein say? And whenever you go to Karbala, insha'Allah ta'ala, when you stand at that spot, remember this khutbah that I am reciting before you. Remember it and remember the time, the atmosphere at the time, the environment, the circumstances under which Hussein was for him to be able to deliver a khutbah like this. Hussein stands up in this place towards the last moment. This time, when he stands to deliver the khutbah, Abbas is no more. When he stands to deliver this khutbah, Ali Akbar is no more. When he stands to deliver this khutbah, Ali Asghar is no more. When he stands to deliver this khutbah, all have left.
Now he goes there and he stands and he addresses the qawm of Ashqiya. He addresses the army of Yazid. He talks to them and he introduces himself to them, not to seek sympathy, but to give or to do the itmam of the hujjah to them. He is not seeking sympathy. Don't misunderstand this as Hussein is seeking sympathy. No, he stands there for the itmam of the hujjah and he talks to them and he says, Ayyuhan Nas. These are the exact words that Hussein, imagine the circumstances first, because I want you to imagine. Karbala needs to be imagined. Imagine Hussein is standing there. Imagine the sorrow he has in his heart. Imagine he has no Ali Akbar anymore. Imagine he has no Qasim. Imagine he is worried about Zainab Umm Kulthum. Imagine he is thirsty for 3 days. Imagine he is hungry for 3 days. Imagine he has lifted the bodies of his youth, young sons, and brought them to the tent. Imagine Hussein standing in that position. And then he delivers this khutbah and says, Ayyuhan Nas, O people, Anbi'uni man ana, tell me who I am. Allahu Akbar. Ayyuhan Nas, O people, Anbi'uni man ana, tell me who I am. ثم ارجعوا إلى أنفسكم. And after you have told me who I am, then search your souls and your consciences. ثم ارجعوا إلى أنفسكم وعاتبوها. And then shake your conscience. And then ask yourself a question. هل يحل لكم قتلي? Is it permissible for you to kill me? Hussein is asking this question to them. Let it be known to the world what Hussein is saying. In the middle of Karbala, in the middle of the battlefield, he says, ثُمَّ ارْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ وَعَاتِبُوهَا. Return back to your souls and your consciences and search your conscience. And then ask yourself a question. هَلْ يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ قَتْلِي. Is it permissible for you to kill me? Then he talks about his family lineage. أَوَلَيْسَ جَعْفَرٌ الطَّيَّارُ عَمُّ أَبِي. Is Ja'far al-Tayyar not the uncle of my father? Have you forgotten? We know that Umar ibn Sa'd knew who Hussein is. We know that these people knew who Hussein was. Yet he is reminding them again. And he is talking to them again. Is Ja'far al-Tayyar not the uncle of my father? أَوَلَيْسَ حَمْزَةُ سَيِّدُ الشُّهَدَاءُ عَمُّ أَبِي. Is Hamza, the king of the martyrs, not my uncle? Do you know who I am? Have you forgotten who I am? And then he says, أَوَلَمْ يَبْلُغْكُمْ قَوْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لِي وَلِأَخِي. Have you not heard the statement of the Holy Prophet of Islam regarding me and my brother? هَذَانِ سَيِّدَا شَبَابِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That these two are the leaders of the youth of paradise. Have you not heard this? And then Hussein stands up with his sword in his hand and holds on to his back. By this time he is very tired. He holds on to his back and then he looks at them right into the eye and he says to them, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَسْمَعُونَ. What is the problem that you are not listening to what I say? And then he concludes, I know why you are not listening to me. لَقَدْ مُلِئَتْ بُطُونُكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Your stomachs are filled with haram. What a time to deliver the statement by Hussein. It gives us an idea, some idea of what went wrong in 50 years. Some idea. These were the people that lived during the time of the Holy Prophet of Islam, during the time of Ali, during the time of Hassan. And this was Hussein, who had risen to reform the ummah of his grandfather. What happened to these people? And why Muslims did what they did to Hussein. And they did all this. If they struck Ali Akbar's chest with the blow, it was qurbatan ila Allah Ta'ala for them.
If they released the three-headed arrow for the neck of Ali Asghar, it was qurbatan ila Allah Ta'ala. If they trampled the body of Qasim under the hooves of the horses, it was for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala according to them. If they slept Sakina, it was for the sake of Allah. That's what they say. That's what is written in the books. That was what their intentions were. If the body of the dhulm, you see, the criminal minds, you start wondering and you are shocked at the criminal minds of the people. When you study the minds of these people and you start understanding the thoughts of these people, you get lost. In history of Karbala, if you were to read this objectively, if you were to analytically read Karbala, no, if you were to critically read Karbala, you may be able to justify the battle of Ali Akbar and the reasons for him to have risen. Even if you were from the opposite party, you would be able to justify the death of Ali Akbar as a martyr. You would have to probably, or someone who is reading critically would probably be able to justify Abbas's death, or justify anyone else's death. But there is no human being, no man with a heart in his heart, who can justify the three-headed arrow on Ali Asghar's neck. Nobody will be able to justify. No one. These were the minds of the people. When the little child whose clothes were burnt and fire had caught the clothes of this little child, there was a man that appeared there and extinguished the fire from the clothes of Sakina. You remember this? You will hear about it in Shami Ghariba again. But there was a man who came to extinguish the fire from the clothes of Sakina. This little girl, this innocent child, was so shocked that there was someone with a heart in Karbala. She was so shocked that there was someone who had a heart in Karbala. She very lovingly looked at this man and she said to him, "I do not know who you are. But you know what? There was no one who could have done what you have done, and I am thankful to you. If you have been, or you have managed to do so much for me, can you do me one more favor? Can you do me one more favor?" He said, "What is it that you want? Can you show me the way to Najaf?" The man who had extinguished the fire, the man who had put out the fire from the clothes of Sakina, instead of showing her the way to Najaf, he slapped the face of Sakina. What were these minds? There were minds that shock the world. And how did it reach that level only in 50 years after the departure of the Holy Prophet of Islam? Azadarani Imam Hussain. Bas do jumle aaj ki shab ki munasibat se, aur main apne taqreer ke daman ko samet lunga. Masaib ki shab hai, masaib ke ayyam hai, masaib ke din hai. Koi mamooli raat nahi hai. Yaad rakhiyega ke masjid mein aur azaa-e Hussain aur farsh-e azaa pe aane ke aadab hote hain. یہاں یوں ہی لوگ نہیں آتے، یہاں آنے کی آداب ہوتے ہیں. علماء نے کتابوں کے اندر فرش عزا پہ بیٹھنے کے آداب لکھے ہیں باقاعدہ. یہ آداب آپ جانتے ہیں کیوں لکھے ہیں؟ اس لیے کہ آپ یہ کبھی نہ سمجھئے گا کہ اس فرش عزا پہ آپ اکیلے ہیں. ایک دکھیاری ماں اس فرش عزا پہ آج کی شب سے بیٹھی ہوئی، آج کی رات سے ایک دکھیاری ماں اس فرش عزا پہ آئی، اور کیا کرنے آئی ہے؟ حسین کا پرسا لینے آئی، اور کیا کرنے آئی ہے؟ اپنے رومال سے حسین کے رونے والوں کے آنسوؤں کو جمع کرنے آئی. اسی لیے فرش عزا پہ آنے کے آداب ہوتے ہیں، رونے کے ایام ہیں، رونے کے دن ہیں. یہ قوم ایسی قوم ہو چکی تھی اس زمانے میں کہ یزید نے حسین سے بیعت طلب کی، یزید نے حسین سے بیعت طلب کی. حسین ایک مرتبہ مدینہ منورہ میں حسین کو بلایا گیا, حاکم مدینہ کے گھر, حکمران مدینہ کے گھر بلایا گیا اور کہا کہ آپ آئیے, اس لیے یزید نے آپ سے بیعت طلب کی ہے. ابو الفضل العباس نے جب یہ سنا ہے کہ حسین کو بلایا گیا ہے تو ایک مرتبہ حسین کے ساتھ آئے, اور جلال آ گیا عباس کو تو ایک مرتبہ عباس نے عباس کو حسین کہتے ہیں, عباس دیکھو میں اندر جا رہا ہوں, مجھے مروان بھی اندر ہے, مجھے بلایا گیا ہے, میں اندر جا رہا ہوں, لیکن عباس تم باہر رہو. شاید حسین جانتے تھے کہ اگر عباس کو جلال آ جائے گا, شاید حسین کو معلوم تھا کہ کہیں ایسا نہ ہو کہ عباس کو جلال آ جائے, عباس تم باہر رہنا میں اندر جاتا ہوں, لیکن عباس اگر میرے بولنے کی آواز بلند ہو جائے تو تم اندر آ جانا. عباس باہر رہے, حسین اندر گئے, اور ایک مرتبہ بیعت طلب کی گئی حسین سے. حسین کسی سے گھبرانے والے نہیں تھے, حسین فرزند رسول تھے, علی کے لاڈلے تھے. ایک مرتبہ حسین نے کہا مجھ سے بیعت طلب کی ہے یزید نے, سن لو اور یہ پیغام یزید کو دے دو, مثلی لا یبایع مثلا, میرے جیسا اس کے جیسے کی بیعت نہیں کر سکتا. یہ کہہ کے حسین نکل گئے, عباس کو لے کے حسین نکل گئے. ایک مرتبہ ابن عباس ملے, حسین سر جھکائے بیٹھے ہوئے تھے, جانتے تھے کہ یزید نے بیعت طلب کی ہے, جانتے تھے کہ کربلا کا سفر تیار ہو گیا ہے, حسین کو معلوم تھا. ایک جگہ کھڑے ہوئے تھے, ایک مرتبہ ایک مقام ایسا مقام آیا کہ ابن عباس نے حسین سے کہا, جب حسین ارادہ کر چکے کہ اب مجھے کوفے کے لیے سفر کرنا ہے, تو ابن عباس نے آ کے کہا کہ مولا آپ کیوں جا رہے ہیں, آپ نہیں جائیے, آپ مدینے میں رہیے. حسین ابن علی نے جواب دیا نہیں, مجھے جانا پڑے گا. کہا کیوں؟ کہا ان اللہ یرید ان یرانی قتیلا, خدا چاہتا ہے کہ مجھے قتل دیکھے اس لیے. کہا اچھا اگر آپ جا رہے ہیں تو زینب ام کلثوم کو لے جانے کی کیا ضرورت ہے, ننے ننے بچوں کو لے جانے کی کیا ضرورت ہے, کیوں آپ ان بچوں کو لے جا رہے ہیں؟ تو جواب دیا ان اللہ یرید ان یراہن سبایا, خدا چاہتا ہے کہ ان کو اسیر دیکھے. یہ گفتگو ہو رہی تھی کہ اتنے میں ثانیہ زہرا کی آواز بلند ہوئی پردے کے پیچھے سے, ثانیہ زہرا کی آواز بلند ہوئی, کہا ابن عباس ایسا سوال مت کرو, اور پھر حسین کی طرف مخاطب ہو کے کہا بھیا چلیں گے کربلا, بھیا کربلا چلیں گے. سنیے حسین زینب کے جملے سنیے, بھیا چلیں گے کربلا, بھیا چلیں گے کربلا, بھیا اگر آپ علی اکبر کو قربان کریں گے تو زینب اون کو قربان کرے گی, بھیا اگر آپ علی اصغر کو قربان کریں گے تو زینب محمد کو قربان کرے گی, بھیا زینب آپ کے ساتھ چلے گی. اس کے بعد ثانیہ زہرا کہتی ہیں بھیا فرق صرف اتنا ہے آپ میں اور مجھ میں, آپ کے سر پہ رسول اللہ کا امامہ ہے, میرے سر پہ ماں فاطمہ کی چادر ہے. میں کہوں گا بی بی اس چادر کی حفاظت کیسے کریے گا, میں کہوں گا بی بی یہ فاطمہ کی چادر ہے اور کربلا کا میدان ہے, شام کا بازار ہے, کوفے کا دربار ہے, فاطمہ کی چادر ہے. آزادارو حسین نے ارادہ کر لیا, زینب ام کلثوم تیار ہو گئے, بیبیاں تیار ہو گئیں, فاطمہ صغرا بھی تیار ہو گئی, سب تیار ہو گئے. بس عزاداروں دو جملے اور, سب تیار ہو گئے جانے کے لیے. جانے کا وقت آ گیا, تاریخ میں ملتا ہے واقعہ کربلا میں لکھا ہے اور ذاکرین سے بھی سنا ہے, علماء نے بھی کہا ہے. ایک مرتبہ جب یہ قافلہ تیار ہوا اور حسین نے جانے کا ارادہ کر لیا, علی اکبر بھی تیار ہو گئے, قاسم بھی تیار ہو گئے, اونو محمد بھی تیار ہو گئے, سب تیار ہو گئے. مدینہ منورہ میں کوہرام برپا ہو گیا, کوئی علی اکبر کا ہاتھ پکڑتا تھا, کوئی قاسم کا ہاتھ پکڑتا تھا, سب خدا حافظ کے لیے موجود تھے. ایک مرتبہ زینب اور حسین اور ام کلثوم
رسول اللہ کے روضہ اقدس پہ پہنچے. حسین نے روضہ رسول پہ بیٹھ کے کہا استودعک اللہ یا جدی. نانا خدا حافظ. حسین آخری رخصتی کے لیے آیا. نانا اب حسین واپس آپ کے پاس نہیں آئے گا. نانا حسین کے لیے یہ شہر چھوڑنا آسان نہیں ہے, مگر نانا حسین جا رہا ہے. تمام سے ایک مرتبہ حسین فراغت پا کے جنت البقیع میں آئے, پہلے بھائی کی قبر پہ آئے, بھائی حسن خدا حافظ, اس کے بعد ماں کی قبر پہ آئے, اس کے بعد حسین ماں کی قبر پہ آئے, اپنے آپ کو قبر پہ گرا دیا اور کہا اماں حسین جا رہا ہے. اماں حسین آخری رخصتی کے لیے آیا ہے. عجب نہیں قبر سے آواز آئی ہو بیٹا تم جاؤ, مگر فاطمہ اب اس قبر میں نہیں رہے گی. سفر تیار ہوا, ایک ایک گھر سے باہر نکلا. علی اکبر و قاسم و عباس و اون و محمد و زین العابدین و سب باہر نکلے تیار ہیں. راوی کہتا ہے کہ میں نے دیکھا کہ حسین کے گھر کے باہر سے ایک ایک لڑکا, ایک ایک بچہ, ایک ایک بیوی نکل رہی. سب بیٹھے ہوئے تھے, سب نکل رہے تھے, میں بیٹھ کے دیکھ رہا تھا. کہتا ہے اچانک میں نے دیکھا ایک جلیل القدر اونچے قد کی عورت باہر نکلی. جب یہ عورت باہر نکلی ہے تو میں نے دیکھا کہ حسین اپنی کرسی سے کھڑے ہو گئے, عباس دوڑے, علی اکبر بھاگے, اپنا زانو زمین پہ رکھ دیا, کہا پوپی اماں سوار ہو جائیے. عباس آئے, آقا زادی سوار ہو جائیے. علی اکبر آئے, پھوپھی اماں سوار ہو جائیے. زاکرین کہتے ہیں زینب سوار نہ ہوئی. قاسم آئے, پھوپھی اماں سوار ہو جائیے. زانو زمین پہ رکھا, ایک زانو بلند کیا, پھوپھی اماں سوار ہو جائیے. زینب سوار نہیں ہوئی. عباس آئے, آقا زادی, زینب سوار نہیں ہوئی. علی اکبر آئے, زینب سوار نہیں ہوئی. ایک مرتبہ حسین نے جناب زینب سے پوچھا, کیا بہن زینب تم نے اپنا ارادہ معطل کر دیا ہے, کیا تم کربلا نہیں جاؤ گی؟ کہا نہیں. جملہ سنیے گا, کہا نہیں, ایسا ارادہ نہیں کیا میں نے, مگر حسین میرے بھائی, میرے آقا, میرے مولا, میرے بھائی حسین مجھے وہ سوار کرے جو کربلا میں بھی سوار کرے, جو کوفہ میں بھی سوار کرے, جو شام میں بھی سوار کرے. عابد بیمار آگے بڑھے. میں کہوں گا بی بی آج عابد بیمار آپ کو سوار کر رہے ہیں, مگر کربلا میں آپ کو عابد بیمار کو سوار کرنا پڑے. قافلہ روانہ ہوا, بے قافلہ روانہ ہوا. ایک مرتبہ یہ قافلہ شجرت الوداع کے پاس پہنچا. سب کے سب جا رہے ہیں, ایک ایک جا رہا ہے. صغرا گھر کے اندر ہیں. حسین نے صغرا کو جانے سے منع کر دیا تھا, صغرا کی حالت اچھی نہیں تھی. ایک مرتبہ حسین ابن علی جب نکلے ہیں شجرت الوداع پہنچے, ایک ایک قافلہ والا مڑ مڑ کے مدینے کی طرف دیکھ رہا تھا. اچانک لڑکھڑاتے ہوئے فاطمہ صغرا دوڑتے ہوئے شجرت الوداع کے پاس پہنچی. کہا بابا, بابا خدا حافظ. کہا فاطمہ ہم نے منع کیا, تم ہمارے ساتھ نہیں آ سکتی. کہا نہیں بابا, مجھے علی اصغر کی یاد آ رہی ہے. بابا بابا ایسا کریں, علی اصغر کو چند لمحوں کے لیے میرے ہاتھوں میں دے دیں. علی اصغر کو اٹھا کے فاطمہ زہرا کے ہاتھوں میں دیا. فاطمہ زہرا اپنے بھائی کو اپنے ہاتھوں میں لیے ہوئے ہیں, پیار کر رہی ہیں. اب حسین نے کہا وقت گزر گیا, زہرا گھر جاؤ, علی اصغر کو میرے حوالے کرو. مگر علی اصغر جو تھے زہرا کو چھوڑتے نہیں تھے. ایک مرتبہ جتنی کوشش کی علی اصغر منع کر رہے تھے. علی اصغر کسی کے ہاتھوں میں نہیں آ رہے
تھے. ایک مرتبہ حسین نے سر جھکایا, علی اصغر کے کانوں میں کچھ کہہ دیا, بچے نے فاطمہ صغرا کو چھوڑ دیا, بابا کی گود میں آ گیا. مولا آپ نے علی اصغر سے کیا کہا؟ شاید مولا کہے میں نے علی اصغر سے کہا, بیٹا علی اصغر کربلا کے شہدا میں, کربلا کی فہرست میں, ارے شہیدوں میں تمہارا بھی.
ماتم حسین.
Yo Hussein, 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 Yo Hussein.